There's full bodied, and then there's full bodied, and then there's McAuliffe Black. Yeah, we're going with the McAuliffe Black. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy, the McAuliffe Black Toro. This is a 6x52 cigar, which means, Fingers Malloy, in case you didn't know, this cigar is 6 inches long. Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. The ring gauge is a 52, the diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around. Again, with the laughter, a 64 ring gauge would be a full 1 inch around. 52 is a nice, nice place to be. I'm not an expert on McAuliffe cigars. I only caught wind of them a couple of years ago, but people talk about them like they've just been a regular in their humidor for their entire lives. They do have a giant series of cigars. This one, their black, is a Mexican San Andreas in the wrapper. And then it has a binder and a filler. The binder is an Ecuadorian Habano, and the filler is Nicaraguan. And all that is, you know, with San Andreas, it has been almost not a gimmick. It's just been used in so many cigars as of late. And the San Andreas has a sweetness to it. You add Habano, you add what they've got in Nicaraguan, there is nobody who won't tell you that the McAuliffe, McAuliffe Black Toro, is full as full gets.
It is a...
Oh, my God.
Wow, and I'm my palate's all over the map at this point because I scarfed down a hot ham and cheese sandwich with salt and vinegar chips. But I got to tell you, I lit this, and the first couple of draws, yeah, it's pepper, it in a big way. It's an odd mix of a little bit of cocoa and a little bit of I think. Tony, how you like to phrase it, farm fresh.
Oh, do you think this has a little scent of the farm?
A little bit.
There's nothing wrong with scent of the farm. I actually dig that in a cigar, by the way. Scent of the farm means exactly what you think it means. Exactly. Yeah, everybody has discussed this as big. What's fascinating about this Mexican San Andreas wrapper here, and I liked how the guys over at thecigarauthority.com put it, I think this was their cigar of the year. This was their cigar of the year in 2023. They look at this wrapper and they almost felt it was toothy. This Mexican San Andreas has a good bit of oil, but it almost feels like it's layered. It almost looks a bit like plaster. And the feel of it, you can actually feel the grit of the cigar. It's not overwhelming, but it is there, and it just feels like it could be used as a weapon in close quarter combat.
You're not kidding. It feels really good in the hand. It's got a lot of heft to it. I'm interested if you're having the same reaction as I am, or if it's just my diet creeping up into this review.
I think it could very well be your diet, because you got pepper right off of the kick. Nah, I am getting a bouncing off the tongue. Almost the start of this cigar, we just lit it up, is like this unique kind of brightness, almost pop rock esque in terms of a flavor bouncing off. Not as heavy as I thought it would be in the slightest. That could all change, and right now it's a touch earthy. It's not grass. It's not hay. It's none of that. If there is a pepper, for me, it is wholly subtle. Now, you could say to me, Tony, are we smoking the same cigar? You want me to tell you that I have been dealing with a cold on and off for 3.5 weeks? It could have some level of effect. Could I tell you the only things I've been drinking is water and Diet Coke? So therefore, flavors for me might be a little bit different for you. Everything is possible. And it's also possible that I have yet to experience what it is you're experiencing. And that will come for me on another couple of puffs. But, you know, as full-bodied as this cigar is, right now I'm not there. There's a touch of pepper that's taken a little bit of hold, but nothing that's overwhelming me just yet.
I'm not saying it's overwhelming. It's nice, but I guess I wasn't expecting it as hot and heavy as it came right off the bat. Listen, I'm going to be very interested to see. Now, for me, it's already starting to subside a little bit. Maybe it's me getting used to it. Maybe it's the fact that that's just what's happening.
But by the way, salt and vinegar chip, there's a great example. When we talk about, pull out your notebook. You got to write things down. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? What is the weather today? It all has an effect on your palate. Salt and vinegar can really create levels of distortion. By the way, there's the pepper. Now it's starting to build itself up, but it didn't start that way for me.
You're making me feel better.
But your taste buds could have been just more attuned and ready for it. And for me, it was a slower build. So you want to get your notebooks out. What did you eat? What did you drink? What is the weather like? And then take the cigar and break it up in your mind into thirds. First third, second third, final third. Start writing down your flavor notes. What are you experiencing in each third? Then when you smoke the cigar 2 months from now, 6 months from now, you go back, you check your notes again, you find your through lines. That's what you got from the cigar. That's the palate, right? That's what that cigar gave you.
And disregard the farm fresh thing, because I can't believe that that would go away as quickly as it did. Within the first couple of minutes, that's gone completely.
You're having a whole thing.
Yeah, it's that pepper, and there's a subtle sweetness and a little bit of chocolate for me.
Yeah. So a couple things. So smoking the McAuliffe Black, and right now we're kind of a little bit across the board with what we're experiencing with it. That happens. You know, there are plenty of guys out there who review a cigar and they'll tell you definitively everything right from the beginning. Half are full of crap and half may know what they're talking about. That's just reality. Are we cigar experts? We're two guys who really enjoy this stuff. And maybe we know a thing or two more than other people. We give you the honest feel of what it is that we are experiencing. Let me give you what I'm experiencing. This draw is easy as can be.
Yes.
In terms of construction, this is absolutely beautiful. This is to an extent, in terms of the sheer look of the cigar, flawless in every way. I mean, it is. It feels wonderful in the hand. And as I said, the draw is exemplary. The flavor is weird because I am not being overwhelmed by earth. I'm not being overwhelmed by wood. I'm not being overwhelmed by nuttiness. That pepper is slowly starting to build. I can feel it in the middle and the sides of the tongue, working its way to the back of the throat. But I'm not getting punched. It's a very full-bodied cigar. I am not getting punched in the face at all with this cigar, Fingers Malloy.
Oh, well, that's fair. I don't know, man. Maybe it's because this isn't my first stick of the day. Maybe it's because I just scarfed down that sandwich. That to me, it was that pepper hit me right away, and it hit pretty hard. And it again, maybe I'm getting used to it. Maybe it's subsiding slowly, but for you, it's building
slowly but slowly. Maybe we'll find out where we are a little bit later. This is the McAuliffe Black. Now, is it in our humidor? We will discuss the price points on this cigar coming up. Ask for it by name and find everything we do over at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. The videos, you can find out where you can get the podcast. Everything is there at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. St. Patrick's Day, Fingers Malloy.
Heidi, 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 hey.
I don't think that's how it works.
Heidi, 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 ho.
Much better. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is Fingers Malloy. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. People love the St. Patrick's Day, and most people love it for what it is they get to drink. They see it as a license, Fingers, to drink, 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 drink.
Yes, and some people wait for St. Patrick's Day for that. Others wait till Friday.
Some people wait till Tuesday. But this is a list of what to eat for St. Patrick's Day, because, of course, everything is based on some level of corned beef. Corned beef and cabbage, that is the St. Patrick's Day twofer.
I thought you were going to say based on gluttony. It's a feast. So hey, yes, beef.
I wasn't expecting you to use the word gluttony.
I'm glad to, after almost 5 years of doing this, every once in a while, I can surprise
you. You continue to confound. That's what you do. You are, of course, Irish.
Yes.
Everybody knows this. Fingers Malloy is the most Irish man in town.
It's true.
Was Mother Malloy a fan of corned beef on the St. Patrick's Day?
She was a fan of corned beef, but wouldn't make it. So
no.
No, she wasn't much of a cook. God rest your soul. God love you, Mom. There wasn't much in the way of a St. Patrick's Day menu at the Malloy home.
So, but did you ever go out for the St. Patrick's Day? Was there ever a celebration?
We didn't really go out much.
No.
This is really adding to the segment that well, you're no, exactly I mean, that hoping happen, for.
Right? It was generational, economic, all sorts of reasons. My mother was a world-class cook.
Mm.
Absolutely remarkable in a kitchen. And while we did go out, very few things compared to what my mother could do. I mean, just the skill set.
Did she do the corned beef?
My mother absolutely made her own corned beef. My mother, remember, I was born in Brooklyn and I grew up in Jersey. And so my grandmother still lived in Brooklyn. She would travel to Brooklyn, place an order with the butcher, and come back with, and this is then, hundreds of dollars worth of beef. We had a second refrigerator. We had in the house, we had a third refrigerator in the garage because she would buy this stuff. And it was loaded. Like, I think she bought an entire side of beef, like, every 6 to 8 months.
Nice.
Just bought it all. Crazy town was happening. So, yes, did make her own corned beef, but did not necessarily make things for St. Patrick's Day. That did not really, you know, every time I went to synagogue, no one said, don't forget St. Patrick's Day. That never happened.
You never had corned beef and see your parents drinking the green beer.
No. No, no, no. My parents would drink the cherry Swiss, the cherry liqueur. They would drink that. My father, a little bit of Jack Daniels every now and again. Just a full bar, wet bar in the house. They built it. Wet bar in the house. They didn't drink worth a damn.
I don't know what cherry Swiss is.
Oh, God. It was like cough syrup, but it was a very expensive bottle of cough syrup. I think is what it was. And by the way, I never saw my father buy another one. There was one there in the house, and when they moved, there was one there in the house. So I don't know, but it was there, and it was this white bottle, and the cap almost looked like a castle spire is what wow. It looked like. It was nuts. But my mother never made the Irish whiskey honey pork chops with champ mash and carrots. That is a recipe one can make for St. Patrick's Day.
Are you a big cabbage guy?
I love it. I love cabbage. I coleslaw, kimchi. I absolutely, positively love it. Now, ask me if it loves me. No, it doesn't. I don't even need you to ask.
I pretty much think America would have that same answer.
I adore it. So the idea, corned beef and cabbage is a wonderful connection. Beef and Irish stout stew. Now, this sounds like something I could get into. You got the beef shoulder, you've got the onion, the carrots, the celery, the garlic, the beef stock, and then, of course, 2 cups of Guinness.
Nice. Now, you know what I like about that, Tony? It sounds like it's good comfort food.
But that's what it is. That's comfort food is everything. Oh my gosh. Can I ask you, if you've ever heard of this, because you are from Saginaw, Michigan.
Yes.
This is not a Michigan thing. This is a Minnesota thing. Speaking of comfort food, have you ever heard of a hot beef commercial?
Well, where's the
funny? So
okay, let me Google that.
Hot beef commercial.
No, I don't know what that is.
It's a thing. Supposedly a Minnesota comfort food that a hot beef commercial is basically chopped or shredded beef served on white bread, mashed potatoes on the white bread, the beef on the mashed potatoes on the white bread, and then a thick beef gravy.
That sounds like a Manhattan.
Oh my God. I did not make that connection. I haven't thought about one because it looks like chip beef.
Yeah.
Right? Or is I think, isn't this exactly what some people would call a blank on a shingle?
That's chip beef and gravy on toast. Something similar to it. But I thought a Manhattan sandwich was basically it's served open face with the beef and the mashed potatoes and the bread, and then you pour the gravy over it. Am I wrong?
I don't think you are. I have not thought of Manhattan in forever. It's exactly what it is. Although Manhattan would be I think a roast would be roast beef.
Okay.
Specifically. So I had never heard of a hot beef commercial. The closest I could, I know. It's so Urban Dictionary. I don't even know what to say. The closest I could think of is that Fingers Malloy and I, a few years back, because, you know, we do political work as well, and political radio, talk radio all across the country. We drove out to Iowa for a political event, and we ended up getting loose meat sandwiches, which we stupidly ate in a car, which cannot be done.
Thank God it was a rental.
That was not good at all. But people swear by this kind of stuff.
I think they were called Made Right sandwiches.
I don't want to use the name of the place and possibly end up in some kind of legal situation where we said this was not tasty.
You're telling me in the 4+ years we've done this show, you've never mentioned a restaurant and said, blech, blech. Never? Not
even Applebee's. Not even.
I just remember we both ordered two, and there was just as much meat on the floor mat at the end as there was in the actual sandwich that was consumed.
It was super rough. It was super rough. But yeah, so they talk about this hot beef commercial. I just love saying it so much. As comfort food. Absolutely. An Irish stew, a beef and Irish stout stew, is total comfort food. That's exactly what it is. Is that what you think of for St. Patrick's Day?
Beef stew. Yeah, absolutely. I know that people love their corned beef and cabbage. I'm just not a fan of cabbage. Not. I love a corned beef sandwich.
Maybe
absolutely
you've just not had it.
It
done right.
That could be.
Right? The secret to cabbage, cooking it.
Oh, that's where I've been going wrong all these years.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Find everything we do over at eatdrinksmokeshow.com, and we will have these St. Patrick's Day recipes up there for you so you can have a tasty one. There is a problem with masculinity in America, and it isn't toxic masculinity. That's just nonsense. The problem is there's a real fear of masculinity in America. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. We've got Let's Go Bourbon. We've got Let's Go Barbecue. Those are two of our books. All right, they're the only two books we have, and they're available at Amazon.com. You should get your copies right now. Let's Go Bourbon, Let's Go BBQ, Let's Go Barbecue, available at Amazon.com. We discuss these things in our daily lives and the other work that we do, but it has become a very serious problem. And many others have discussed this. We have brought this up before, that the you know, some people will say it's the attack on masculinity. But what has happened, whether it's through education or whether it's through culture, it is a fear of masculinity, a fear of men and of manliness and of manhood. And I think it's important, as there's a story here, 8 signs a man will never grow up, according to psychology. Well, how about we go completely in the opposite direction? What does one do, Fingers, about a culture that isn't interested in having men grow up to be men? Because that's clearly, and we can give all the examples. I don't mind going through it. That's what's happening.
Yeah. When you have media messaging repeatedly pounded over young adolescents' heads that masculinity is bad. And they try to characterize all masculinity as toxic, that creates a real problem in society.
So the idea of toxic masculinity is the idea is predicated on the idea that somehow men are evil, violent, ruthless. Now, that is not the mark or the hallmark of a man. To be ruthless, to be violent towards women, that is in no way the mark of a man. In the same exact breath, I can say it is not the mark of a man to say, I'm just going to live at home. I don't need to go on a date with a girl. I don't need to have those sexual experiences. I can just go about with porn and video games. Not a mark of a man. And a serious, serious danger. And both come from a kind of similar place, which is what happens when you don't have in your life a proper male role model? What happens when you don't have men in your life as a kid? How do you even learn how to be a man?
Well, that, and there's a real push to make that male role model into an evil character. Oh, that strong male role model you had growing up, oh, that's from a different era, an era that we don't want to live in now. We're much more enlightened, and we need to tone down masculinity, because much of masculinity has those toxic traits that you were just referring to. Most, you know, pretty much every man in my life, if you started discussing a guy that would slap a woman around, one of the first sentences that would come out of their face would be, that's not a man.
Not a man. In no way. Opposed to every bit of it. But the to just start with some basics here. Men protect women because men recognize that there is a difference between men and women. I want to start there as the basic of the conversation, because that can get you in real trouble in today's society.
I was going to say that statement alone, unfortunately, can be controversial in some circles to say men are different than women.
I would argue that those circles are exactly the problem. If you cannot recognize that there is a difference between men and women, I'm not saying a better, I'm saying a difference. There's a difference in how they act and how they operate. Did you know that men are from Mars and women are from Venus? Fingers
crossed. It's like you saw it in my eyes and then you did it.
I never read the book because I was busy doing anything else. But the idea that men and women are different are very real. And that what they bring to a family and what they are then show to children are very helpful, because children get to get both of these elements that are important for maturity and growth. And you also learn how to act. But a society that has, for example, glorified the idea of being a single mom, glorified the idea of divorce, and then you see within these couples that hate each other, and how they talk about each other, and how they complain about one another. Well, how do you expect kids to think well of, in this case, men, if mom is always saying how terrible, how awful, how this, all men are just like this, all men, they just want one thing. Those small, snide comments have massive, massive effect. And now extrapolate that out to a cultural positioning of this. It is no wonder that so many boys who have possibly only one parent at home, a woman, their teachers are mostly women, they're surrounded by mostly women, and they actually don't know how to act, that there is a difference, and that the difference is not only okay, it is good and should be celebrated.
Yeah. I would say this, and I don't want to come across as I'm trying to say that men are some sort of victims when it comes to that. I don't believe in it. Men are victims when it comes to this, but I feel like it's about the only group that you can generalize, and it's socially acceptable to generalize about men. If a woman has a couple of bad experiences with men and it clouds their image of what all men are, it's okay to throw that out there. And a lot of times, especially in social media, where unfortunately young people are really bombarded by messaging on social media, that's just accepted and that's okay.
So I get your point, right? Because you don't want to be a guy who's being a victim. That's not who you are, no. Fingers. It's not it. I would say that it's bad for America. It's bad for culture. It's bad for society. It's bad for growth. It's bad for the future. You hear women today talk about they can't find anybody to date. They can't find anybody who will pick up the check. They can't find anybody who will name these little things. Nobody taught them. As a matter of fact, if a guy wanted to pick up the check, they would be told they're being chauvinistic because everything should be equal. But you and I both know, Fingers Malloy, if you're going on dates with women, guys, listen up, you better be picking up the damn check.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, I have never not picked up a check for a woman. It's a business meeting. It's a college. Never once in my life Now, you say to me, Tony, that's the job of men. It goes to this larger conversation, holding a door open. That's chauvinistic? No, it's not. It's respectful. I do it for the elderly as well, because that's what you do. And then you get into the actual conversation of relationships. And, you know, we've spoken previously about the use of the word simp. You brought that, I think it was last week you brought that up, Fingers, where guys are simps for women, and they're just giving these all these platitudes and getting nothing in return. Well, culturally, there's been this idea that guys are supposed to do whatever it is women say, like in marriages, in relationships, happy wife, happy life, and all that kind of stuff. That stuff is absolutely wrong, because it creates the idea of a power dynamic where one is more important than the other. Men should never accept that. It should be about we. And then there's conversations about how families are run, et cetera. So this article about signs that a man will never grow up, and we'll put it up over at eatdrinksmokeshow.com, I think this is actually a smaller part of a larger conversation. If you never teach men to be men, and we should get into in the future what that actually means, we just hinted on it pieces here and there, how are they supposed to learn anything?
They can't. All they can do is learn about society, learn how to live their life from their influences. And if they don't have a strong man in their life, and like you said, if they're being raised by a woman and their teachers are all women, that's who is going to influence their behavior.
And we should be clear.
That's fine.
We're not saying women are bad at all.
No.
I'm a huge fan. Hold on.
Yes, absolutely.
The issue is culturally, we're seeing this hatred, and that hatred is destructive. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke. When one prepares for St. Patrick's Day, as Fingers Malloy will tell you, they get ready for all of the green beer.
Oh, good Lord.
No one loves green beer more than Fingers Malloy.
Oh, good Lord.
But for those of us who want something other than green beer, the answer is clearly Irish whiskey.
Oh, I thought you were going to say light green beer.
You're just the worst, worst person. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is Fingers Malloy. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. I must admit, I've never been the biggest Irish whiskey guy. It just does not move me. There is a flavor component that always hits me as bitter and doesn't match up with my palate, nor does it match up usually with my cigars. But we must try the things, Fingers, because sometimes one can be pleasantly surprised.
That's very true.
And I have been surprised by Irish whiskey before.
Yes, you have. And also, we're at Blend Bar Cigar in Indianapolis, and they didn't have any green beer.
So Irish whiskey it is. This is Teeling. Teeling Irish whiskey, small batch, Fingers Malloy. That's what we're working with right here. 46% alcohol by volume, so I believe that is 92 proof. Nope, no applause. We don't give applause for anything under 100 proof. Now, when you're dealing with Irish whiskey as opposed to, let's say, bourbon has to come from a first-use American oak, charred American oak cask, right? So that's when the barrel has to be American oak and it has to be first-used. After that, it can never be used for bourbon again to be considered bourbon. But for whiskey, coming from Europe, Irish whiskey, of course they can do this. In this case, the Teeling folks initially age their whiskey in ex-bourbon barrels, and then they move them over to barrels that used to hold rum out of Central America. So that's we're going to be getting a whole bunch of unique flavors out of the Teeling small batch, and it is very pale, very light. It is not even golden. It's more yellow than
golden. I
was
about to say, it looks more yellow to me than anything else.
That's the way it looks as we're swirling it around. A touch of viscosity. It is sticking to the glass. That nose is kind of not kind of Irish whiskey at all. There's nothing bitter. There's nothing ethanol happening.
Very light on the nose. I'm getting some vanilla. And
I almost want to say it's clove.
I'll buy that. A little bit of citrus.
Definitely.
That's interesting.
That's a pleasant nose. It's not overpowering. It's not overwhelming. You're right. It's light. I would go with slight. It is a slight nose there on the teeling. T-E-E-L-I-N-G is how we would, as how you spell it. It's nice. It's pleasant. That's a pleasant, pleasant nose right there. But fingers, it's not enough to have a pleasant nose. You ready for this?
Tony, I've been ready for this all year.
We are going to do this the way we do everything else. It's the Kentucky Chew. Move it around the palate. Really get an idea of the flavors when you take your sip. Sometimes you want to take two sips. The first one to set the taste buds. The second one to really get an idea of the flavors. Fingers, are you all right?
Well, pretty much what I got on the nose is what I'm getting on the palate. That vanilla is there. There's a citrus. It's spicy. It is. There's no sting.
Spicy?
Yes, this is a spice to it. There's no sting on the tongue. No warmth or burn down into the chest. It's good. It's not at all what I was expecting.
I'm going in. I'm going in for the Teeling, T-E-E-L-I-N-G, the Teeling Small Batch. To your health, fingers, Malloy.
To my health, fingers, Malloy. He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish.
Wow. All right. That's not spice. First of all, that's outrageously smooth. There is no heat anywhere. It's buttery.
You're not getting any spice on that at all?
No, man.
Not on the front of the tongue? Wow, that's interesting.
To the extent that I would call it spice, no. It's buttery. It's creamy. It's a little bit... there is a little bit of a citrus thing going on, but it's more sweet than that. I so desperately want to move this to a rock. I can't even describe it. Right. And the finish is lovely. It's a little bit upbeat. Maybe there's a touch of caramel going on. It's outrageously smooth. Okay. Now the tongue is building up actually a touch of heat, which I guess you can call spice. I could see that. That's an unbelievably smooth, smooth. I'm going back in.
He's going back in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing the Kentucky Chew.
No, we already said that. It's the Dublin Dash.
There it is.
Is what I'm doing. That's remarkably easy. More so than almost any other Irish whiskey I've ever had. We did the Middletons. You can look it up at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Look up our old podcasts over there on Fireside and I forget the name of it right now. I'll find it. That is outrageously smooth. I was expecting more bitter. I was expecting a whole series of things. That's pleasant.
I went in for seconds, Tony, and I am starting to pick up some orchard.
Really?
Yeah.
Not citrus, but you're talking about...
There was citrus the first time around.
Apples, pears, yeah, cherries, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. This isn't... There's a lot to this, and it's good.
That is... That's a super unique flavor. I'm telling you, it's screaming for a cube in my view. The question, fingers, Malloy, is this in your liquor cabinet for $28.99?
Yeah. I thought for sure you were going to say, because I freely admit I'm not in the Irish whiskey world. I thought this was going to be $60, $70 a bottle. At that price, yeah. Would it be an everyday drink? I don't think so. But man, at that price, yeah, it's in my liquor cabinet.
I need it on a cube in order to figure it out. But it is so much different than I was expecting. There's so much more sweeter happening here, which I have to attribute to the rum cask, right?
Yeah.
It spent, I think, a year in the rum. Oh, that's fun. That is an actual surprise. Not an Irish whiskey guy. I don't go that direction. I'm telling you, a cube's going to make this tell the story.
I'm amazed at that price point.
Yeah. You really thought it, just because everything's more expensive?
Yes.
Or you just figured.
And of course, where we're at too. I mean, a lot of the stuff here will be considered medium to top shelf.
Right.
And so, yeah, that surprises me. It's good.
Teeling small batch Irish whiskey. Oh, sometimes you get surprised. I don't know if it's in my liquor cabinet yet. I get the price point. But only moving it to a cube is gonna, we're gonna know for sure. That's coming next. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke. But let's say, Fingers Malloy, I don't want to have Irish whiskey this St. Patrick's Day.
You don't want to have Irish whiskey this St. Patrick's Day.
No, I'm saying that I don't want to have Irish whiskey this St. Patrick's
Day. Oh, that's what you're saying.
It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Malloy. Find it all at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Some people love the green beer, Fingers.
Ugh.
They love the green beer.
No.
You know what they love more than the green beer?
What's that?
The light green beer, Fingers.
No.
That's a callback, everybody. And some people may drink the Teeling Irish whiskey or their Irish whiskey of choice, but you came upon a list of the 30 best St. Patrick's Day drinks to help you celebrate like the Irish.
Yes.
And you noticed that outside of something with Guinness or an Irish coffee, this list, and we do love a good list here, this list is devoid of anything Irish whatsoever.
If there's a hint of green, or you could put a little bit of green in this drink, they're saying it's Irish.
Number one on the list to prove the point. And so the story here being, why would you make this list? This list is ridiculous. The number one is the spiked Arnold Palmer. All right, so, whoa up, Trigger. So you know what an Arnold Palmer is? Named for the famed golfer, half lemonade, half iced tea. That's called an Arnold Palmer. It is nationwide. People love them.
It's wonderful.
So you want to spike it, you want to add rum, you want to add whiskey, add whatever you want. That doesn't make it Irish.
It does if you garnish it with a mint sprig.
A mint sprig?
Sprig.
I saw Mint Sprig open up for Oingo Boingo in 1986.
There it is.
Not Irish. You can't start a list like this. You should have thrown this list away immediately.
Listen, I go to thepioneerwoman.com for all of my cocktail advice.
Is that what? Oh my God, it is from thepioneerwoman.com. Everything about this. Honestly, was there nothing else going on?
I looked at this list, Tony. Wrist. What is wrong with me? I had one sip of the Irish whiskey, and I'm just talking all crazy.
Look what the Teeling has done to
yes.
you.
Yes, I looked at this list, and I thought to myself, self, this is going to be radio gold.
On this list is the classic margarita. Because it has a green hue?
Yes.
God.
When I think of the Irish, Tony, I think margaritas.
We're, first of all, cultural appropriation. Secondly, this is just so damn lazy.
How dare you? Listen, you can insult me all you want to. I can take it. But I will not sit here and listen to you insult thepioneerwoman.com.
A mudslide is on the list because it has or could have Irish whiskey, ice cream, coffee, Bailey's and chocolate syrup.
No, Bailey's Irish cream doesn't even have the Irish whiskey.
Irish cream, sorry. It's delicious. Not particularly Irish. That the to me, the best one. This is it. The French 75. Do you know what a French 75 is?
Should I Urban Dictionary that?
Gin, lemon juice, simple syrup. Mix it. Add a little bit of champagne to it. Lemon twist. Fingers? Apologize to everybody for producing this list.
According to thepioneerwoman.com, any leprechaun would feel lucky to sip this light and refreshing drink.
I'm so mad at you.
This is bringing me such
this
joy.
This is the problem. It's just...
Are you telling me that the Appletini, which is number 6 on this list, isn't perfect for St. Patrick's Day?
No, it's not.
It's green and snappy.
Do you know how many problems there are with the Appletini?
Go on.
First.
It's only a 2-hour show.
Well, we could do a 2-parter. First, in no way Irish. Secondly, not a martini.
Listen, as someone who has Irish flowing through his veins, when I think Ireland, I think green apples.
Ugh. It's, I want to know why the Irish aren't more upset. Now, number 11 on the list is ranch water.
It goes, apparently it goes good with potatoes and corned beef.
Ranch water. I don't even know what it is. It's Topo Chico. And then it's here it is. You take some crushed ice,
mm-hmm.
and then you get some lime juice, and then some tequila blanco, and then Irish. A sparkling mineral water like Topo Chico, and then you garnish it with a lime.
Mm-hmm.
It's tequila. By the way, it's called ranch water. I guess drinking from the hose was taken.
Well,
ranch water.
Well, that was actually number 31 on the list, drinking from a green hose.
What we do to St. Patrick's Day is just, it's just awful. It's awful, and it's wrong, and it's terrible. Number 13 on the list is the classic Bloody Mary. Just in the name. If it's the classic Bloody Mary, it can't be Irish.
Do you think that this person believes that everything should be on this list because the stereotype is the Irish like to drink? So everything is fine on St. Patrick's Day because the Irish like to drink. So goes the stereotype. So classic Bloody Mary, perfect Irish drink. The Appletini, perfect Irish drink. Tequila, perfect Irish drink.
By the way, if I replace this with the perfect drinks for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, it would be the same. They could do the same list.
I'm just grateful that it took us to get down to number 15 on the list before green beer showed up.
Why do you oppose this so greatly?
You know,
and now everyone fingers Malloy's rendition of Why Green Beer Ruined St. Patrick's Day. Fingers?
Because they get a beer like Natural Light. They throw a bunch of green food coloring in it, and people will drink 20 pitchers of it. And then they will want to feel, they basically feel like liquid death the next day.
So your problem with green beer is from your days as a bartender, where you had to serve green beer
at 10 a.m.
You had to deal with so many drunk jerks
at 11 a.m.
that you're angry at the color of the beer. It was the food coloring that did it, I tell you.
Well, that, Ed, listen, I don't know if you've had a tall, frosty mug of Natural Light lately.
I have not.
It's not the best beer.
What?
I would ask if they have Natural Light here, but I already know the answer.
They don't have Natural Light? I thought, first of all, it's all natural. And secondly, less calories.
17, a Guinness float.
That'll work.
See?
Well, anything with Guinness. Guinness. Now, Guinness is something you would have on St. Patrick's Day.
Why did it take to get to number 17 before we got to Guinness?
This whole list is an embarrassment. It's a shame. This is a shameful act. And that you brought this to Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation, I just want to say I'm the only person here actually defending the Irish. They deserve better than this. You hear that, Pioneer Woman? Better than this.
Wow.
This is Eat, Drink, Smoke.
If you're like me, you are a degenerate gambler. Well, no, I'm not really a degenerate gambler, and neither are you. But if you do like to gamble, boy, do I have some great news for you. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy along with Tony Katz.
Did you just say, if you're a degenerate gambler, I have great news for you?
I said, if you're like me, a degenerate gambler.
Oh, okay.
And then I said, I'm not a degenerate gambler, neither are you. But I do have some good news for you if you are a gambler. That's how I let off the segment. Tony loves it when I bring the show in. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Fingers Malloy. He's Tony Katz. The website, eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Visit it. Bookmark it. Make it a part of your daily experience. EatDrinkSmokeShow.com. Tony.
Fingers.
We are going to Las Vegas.
Yes, we are.
And Tony asked me earlier some of my nicknames. We've got the Southern Dandy.
Right.
America's Happy Hour Anchorman.
Right.
America's Favorite Amateur Drinker.
And, of course, Johnny Goodnews.
Johnny Goodnews. Of course, Tony, over the years of going to the Premium Cigar Association trade show in Las Vegas, he's known as Tony Nickel Poker King Katz.
Is that what I am?
Nickel Poker King Katz. Say that five times fast.
I refuse to. I want to keep my license.
So
we don't have licenses.
The IRS has an advisory committee that wants to raise the tax threshold for slot winnings from $1,200 to $5,000. Tony,
hold on. So right now you play the slots.
I play nickel poker.
Yeah, but let's say you play
quarter
the slots,
poker. Excuse me.
And you win $1,201.
$1,200. $1,200.
Right now, you have to report that to the IRS.
A fantastic employee from the casino will walk out, congratulate you, then ask for all of your information where they can fill out the proper IRS paperwork for you to include that jackpot pot as part of your taxable income.
Now they're saying $1,200, that's nothing. Let's raise it to $5,000 and let people not have to pay the taxes on their winnings.
Exactly.
Well, that is good news.
It is good news.
When will the IRS be informed of the mistake they clearly made, thinking that the American public could keep more of their winnings?
Well, you know who is behind it? It's a bipartisan movement to change this because, first of all, the $1,200 money, the standard was set in 1977 and hasn't changed. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's been quite a bit of inflation between 1977 to 2024.
Is that right?
Yes. So jackpots have gotten bigger, and this ties up casino personnel. It costs the casinos more money because they, you know, as there are more jackpots over $1,200, they have to have attendants come and pay their customers and also fill out this tax.
Right. They got to pay a visit,
the whole thing.
Say, hey, congratulations. Here's how we're going to screw you. Don't blame us. Blame the IRS. Sign here, here, and here.
Yes, exactly. So it's going to be raised to $5,000.
All right. Now here's where it gets interesting. I got all excited. Do you know how much casinos did in revenue in 2022?
Well, are we talking about just from me?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't want to share that information. I believe they're setting records.
$60 billion. $60 billion. It was up 14% from 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So casinos on the Strip accounted for $8.2 billion of this. Then you get to Atlantic City, which is $2.8 billion in gaming revenues. And then, of course, you have all the different states that have their things and online, et cetera. What is the fascination? Why gambling? And I just learned the other day, you don't have any gambling apps on your phone. You don't do any of the sports betting. No, not, you don't do a single bit of that.
No.
Is that because you know?
I know. I enjoy gambling. It is my friend. It is my pal. It is my chum.
Would you say buddy?
Yes, my buddy. I used to golf. I don't golf anymore. I work a lot. I need a little bit of an escape. I don't gamble any more than I can lose. And that's the first thing you need to realize. Absolutely. When you're getting into gambling is please don't gamble more than you can afford to lose. I enjoy playing video poker because I'm by myself. I'm not dealing with any other people around me. At certain places, local casinos here, I can smoke my cigar right at the bar playing video poker. It's relaxing. And every once in a while, Tony, as you've witnessed, been able to bring home a little bit of change.
A little bit of what?
A little bit of scratch.
Is that what the kids call it?
A little bit of coin.
I have video poker sitting next to Fingers Malloy. I never played video poker until hanging out with Fingers Malloy. And when Fingers is at a video poker machine, it's as if all of humanity falls away. If somebody next to him was on fire, He wouldn't know. He doesn't move his head. It is just in this like 18 degree downward position, looking at the screen, and he's got a drink in one hand, and he's got the scar in another, and he's hitting this, and he's betting that. It's working on a parlay. I have no idea what he's doing right there, and he's doing it. He's going on. He's got it all together, and every now and then he'll look up at the bartender and say, "Barkeep, another drink," and back down, and he's going again. And every now and then he'll look up at the bartender and say, "Barkeep, got to use the restroom." Anybody comes near this machine, you die. And then he goes and he uses the restroom.
I don't even have to say that. I just give him the look. He knows.
He is obsessive about it.
Now, you've seen me. There was one game I was playing. It was called Triple Double Bonus Poker.
Is that what it was called?
Yes. I was dealt three aces and a four. And I nudged you. And I said, if I get another ace here, it's going to be $1,000. And you're like, yeah, sure. I've heard it before. I've heard all the casino stories.
Who do you think caught a fish this big?
Who do you think you're talking to? I'm Tony Nickel Poker King Katz. I've seen it all. I've done it all. And then I hit that button and the ace popped up and I yelled, Yahtzee. You remember that?
$5,000.
$1,000.
No, you won $1,000.
Yes.
I'm saying they're raising now the limit before you have to pay taxes to $5,000. That does not sound like an inflationary conversation. That sounds like a gambling lobby being very, very, very effective conversation. I would like to see the donations to all those members of Congress who thought this was a good idea.
Tony, I love it. Shocked that you would think that a politician would be swayed by donations from interest groups.
I am all in on this. I think the number should be 42 million, but it's not the point. When have you ever heard of this happening?
I'm stunned. I'm stunned that the IRS would go along with this, but you're exactly right. People are lobbying because it costs them more money to be able to enforce this $1,200 limit because jackpots have gotten bigger.
When does this go into effect?
Still talk. It's going to happen, but as far as when it's going to happen, you know how it is. You hear about something that's going to happen that's going to be implemented by the government. It may take a little bit of time.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it because now, are you going to go from quarters to 50 cents?
No.
Wait, you don't play nickel. You play quarters, right?
I play quarters, yeah.
You're not going to go to 50 cents?
No. I still have a budget. My gambling habits aren't based on what the government is going to look into, you know, me getting paperwork for filing on my taxes.
You're going to take a third job, aren't you?
What makes you think I haven't already?
We are drinking the Teeling Irish Whiskey. This is nicer than I thought. This is sweeter, a little bit fruity. Fingers talks about getting a bit of orchard. I'm getting more of a citrus. And this McAuliffe Black, the Toro 6x52 is what we're smoking. M-I-C-A-L-L-E-F. It's a beautifully done stick. Now, it's not as flavorful as I thought it would be, but it has a nice flavor. It is not, I don't find it overly spiced. I don't find it overly spicy. We thought it would be a much bigger stick. Is it a full-bodied? Close. But unbelievable construction, unbelievably well-built, and at $8 a stick, yeah, in your humidor. This is Eat, Drink, Smoke.
Follow Eat, Drink, Smoke on social media, on Twitter, at Go Eat, Drink, Smoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/Eat, Drink, Smoke, and Instagram, at Eat, Drink, Smoke Podcast.